Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyeh bivro. I was once attending a lecture by Rabbi Burra Wein, and he got such a lavish introduction. He says, the only problem is, I wish my mother were here. So Baruch Hashem, my mom came. So thank you, Michael. Completely unnecessary. But certainly appreciated and very much appreciate may Omek HaLev, everyone coming out this Sunday morning and staying this late in the program as well. Someone had sent into Reader's Digest years ago that my wife and I were comparing notes the other day. I have a higher IQ, I did better on my SATs, and I make more money than you did. As she pointed out, yeah, but if you take a step back and you look at the big picture, I'm still way ahead, I said. She looked mystified. How do you figure? I married better, I replied. Now, years ago, I was in a Shalom Bayis Vod. And the Mashkiach delivering the Vod to newly married couples said that he feels the key ingredient in a successful marriage. As that the chosen always looks at the kala and says, what in the world did I do to deserve such an amazing kala? And the kala looks towards her chosen and says, I can't believe it. What in the world did I do to deserve such an amazing chosen? How did I get so lucky, so incredibly fortunate? Each party is continuously looking at the other saying, wow, unbelievable gift. What in the world did I do to deserve such a person? And I agree that's certainly integral to a happy and successful marriage. But I'd like to suggest that the key to a long-lasting, successful marriage, one that keeps getting better with time. After all, how many of us know that all too familiar joke that the marriage is like a tea bag? It all looks great when you open up the box. It looks great. It smells great. The next thing you know, it comes with strings attached. Before long, you find yourself in hot water. And after a while, it just doesn't make sense anymore. Now that, of course, is not what we espouse. We certainly don't believe in such a concept. So what does it take to make a long-lasting, everlasting marriage and a successful one? Now, there's a great book, I strongly recommend it, by John M. Gottman, PhD. His middle name is Mordechai. A Jew from Seattle, Washington, he wrote this book back in 1999 and since been reprinted in 2015, The Seven Principles for Making Marriage Work, a practical guide from the country's foremost relationship expert. Nothing about John Gray's Men Are From Mars, A Woman Are From Venus, where I at least heard that he's been divorced four times. Men are not from Mars and women are not from Venus, we're both from planet Earth, so what does it take to make a successful marriage? And he writes on page 21 as follows. At the heart of the seven principles approach is the simple truth that happy marriages are based on a deep friendship. By this I mean a mutual respect for and enjoyment of each other's company. These couples tend to know each other intimately. They are well versed in each other's likes, dislikes, personality quirks, hopes, and dreams. They have an abiding regard for each other and express this fondness, not just in the big ways, but through small gestures day in and day out. And he proceeds to cite an example, and he's met with thousands upon thousands of couples, and he has a 91% success rate in highlighting which couples, after meeting with them for 15, 20 minutes or so, and watching them, observing them closely, how they interact and scrutinizing their facial gestures, the way they look at each other, the way they respond to one another, and he can almost 100% predict who's going to be married 10, 15 years down the road, and who's going to be divorced, Rahman al-Islam. And what's the key? A deep and profound friendship. Take the case of the hardworking Nathaniel, who is employed by an import business and works very long hours. And I know the marriage schedule might be indeed a major liability, but he and his wife Olivia have found ways to stay connected. And they talk or text frequently throughout the day. And when she has a doctor's appointment, he remembers to call to see how it went. When he has a meeting with an important client, she'll check in to see how it fared. And when they have chicken for dinner, she gives him the drumsticks because she knows he likes them best. When he makes blueberry pancakes for the kids, he'll leave the blueberries out of hers because he knows she just doesn't like them. Although he's not religious, he accompanies her to church each Sunday because it's important to her. And although she's not crazy about spending a lot of time with their relatives, she has pursued a friendship with Nathaniel's mother and sisters because family matters so much to him, so much to her husband. If all this sounds humdrum and unromantic, it's anything but. In small but important ways, Olivia and Nathaniel are maintaining the friendship, and that is the source, the foundation of their love. And as a result, they have a marriage that is far more passionate than do couples who punctuate their lives together with romantic vacations and lavish anniversary gifts, but have fallen out of touch in each other's daily lives. Friendship fuels the flames of romance because it offers the best protection against feeling adversarial towards your spouse. It all boils down to friendship. It's nice to take a romantic vacation every once in a while. It's certainly nice to lavish your spouse with a wonderful anniversary gift. Of course, you can't ever forget the anniversary. And the trick, the secret, how do you never forget your spouse's anniversary? How do you remember it? Forget it once. It's not just about the expensive gifts. It's the little things. I remember years ago, I heard from Rabbi Ezra Neuberger in Yisrael. Says, a successful marriage is not about the necklaces and the diamond rings and the vacation. Sure, those things play a role and often an important role in that successful marriage. But that's not the key. That's not what lies at the bedrock, at the solid, rock-solid foundation of the marriage. It's the constant interaction on a daily basis, as friends do. Constantly calling, constantly texting, checking in, leaving a lollipop or a post-it in the person's purse, or perhaps under the pillow, a little card when it's not the anniversary, when it's not the birthday. Doing things that friends do, because that's the key to a happy, everlasting marriage. It's your best friends. And that's the topic for today's discussion. Husband and wife, and the dynamic duo, and best of friends forever. I had the schus to attend at two Bris Milah celebrations this morning. And we know you've all been by a Bris Milah. And based on the Gemara and Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Zayin, we all recite collectively, Kashem Shenichas LeBris, Keini Kanis LeTorah LeChupa LeMasim Tov. Same way the child entered the bris, so too should the child merit to enter into Liman HaTorah, into the chuppah, and into Masim Tovim. I heard years ago from the author of a kuntris entitled El Ginos Egos Yeradati. Says, how does a child come into the bris with blood, sweat, and guts? To borrow Churchill's famous phrase, a child comes into the bris and there's blood, sweat, and guts. That's how you have to go into Liman HaTorah. You have to be Mamis Atzmola. It's got to be Mituch Yegiyah and a Mainless Mesiris Nefesh, and so too the Masim Tovim. It's got to be selfless dedication to giving of yourself every single day in endless acts of loving kindness. But right there in the middle, it's of course a question not for now, what's it doing in the middle? But Torah L'chuppah, that's how you go with the chuppah. It's got to be with sacrifice. It's got to be with the shvitzing, with making sacrifices. But writes the Matzav HaYosher in Neshamas HaTshuvos on the Zohar and Bereishis in Siman Zayin, he cites a fascinating Sefer Mekori Menhagim. And the Mekori Menhagim writes in Siman Chav, Al Pi Kabbalah, there are three times that the two halves of a neshama, Chas and Kala, are united as one cohesive unit. When one part of that larger composite whole, the larger neshama, called Ish Isha, Zohar Nekeva, and when they are born, Hashem solidifies that bond, that tie, and He unites those two halves of the neshama together as one. And then He breaks them apart for all those years. When you come together standing underneath the chuppah, that's time number two, writes the Mekori Menhagim. Then Hashem Yisbarach once again links you up, interlinks the two halves of the neshama, the shnei chatzom lematbeya echad, the two sides of the coin, and He interlinks you, and you're now connected once again, but right after the chuppah, Hashem breaks you apart once more. And then you're united lachar misa after 120, and you spend all of nitzchias, all of eternity together. You better get used to one another. Because all of eternity, those two halves of Neshama will be reunited once more, and that will last ad infinitum. I heard years ago from a Rav Rivlin, the Mashkiach of Yeshivas Karmayamna, and the famous question, we turn to Sota Da Beisam and Aleph Koshel Azavgir Kekriyas Yamsut. It's so difficult to put a pair together, an Ish and an Isha. A Chos and Kal has almost forgot to split the Yamsuf, the Reed Sea. And of course, we all know nothing is difficult for the Almighty. The Omnipotent Creator, everything comes easy for Him. So what's Kosher? What's difficult? Explained Rav Rivlin. And what's difficult is, Hashem Yisbach says to Himself, Kaviyachol, these two halves of Neshama belong together. They're two halves of one large whole. They're supposed to be together. The Yav, the waters, are supposed to be united as one. And now Hashem says to save the Jewish people from the Mitzrim, hot in their tail, what choice do I have? I have to split the sea. It's kosher. I don't want to split the sea. I don't want to keep something that belongs together to have to separate it. Explain my Rivlin. You know what's difficult? Hashem says, look at these two halves of Neshama. They belong together. I got to wait 20 years, 23 years, 25 years, 27, 28, whatever the case might be. All those years, Hashem is waiting. In mass anticipation. I can't wait to reunite those two halves in Hashem. I want them. They belong together. Because that's what husband and wife are. They're best friends, broken apart, who are now united once more together as one. And that's an important distinction. A chiluk drawn between human beings and the full scope of the animal kingdom. Writes the Vilna Gaon in Aderes Eliyahu and Bereishis. Writes the Malbim in his Peir Shel HaTorah, and the point is echoed by Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chover in his Droshas Siyach Yitzchak. How did the animals come into being? Every animal came into being. One zocher and a keva. There's a zocher, there's an akeva, there's a male and there's a female counterpart. They came in as two distinct, two hugely exclusive entities. Those are the animals of the world. And how did human beings come into the world? We have a Gemara twice in Shas, Ksuvas Tavchesim and Aleph and Brochas Amachalafim and Aleph. Zocher and a keva barom, they're made as one initial androgynous being, later split, divided into two. Why? Asks the Vilna Gaon. Asks the Malbim. Asks the Siach Yitzchak. Why differentiate between Homo sapiens and the rest of the creations? And they all explain, they all say more or less the same idea with slight nuances, and that is that Hashem is illustrating to us the tachlis, the goal, the objective is you're one, you're be'etzem one being. I'm going to bring you down into the world as Zohar in a cave of Barom, you are one male, female being. I'm going to later divide you up into two, and then what's the job of life is now merge, fuse, and become one for the rest of your life. I'm going to give you a taste of that, a little snippet, a little sampling. When one child is born, that's the Makorim and Hogan. I'm going to give you a taste of what it is to be together. And once you taste it, you know what to strive towards. You know what to look forward to. Same way, when we are all in the womb of our mothers, the Gemara relates in Nida Daflamad Amad Beis, how we are taught Kola Torah Kula. And then what happens? We come out by Malach Basachal Piv, we get a little nip on our mouth, and then the next thing you know, we forget all the Torah. So what's the point in being taught the entire Torah if we're going to forget it anyway? And the commentaries all explain, because once you have it, once you taste it, once you know what to look forward to, you know what to chaser, what to review, what am I pursuing now for the rest of my life? So too, Hashem Yisbrach says you're going to come into the world as one being. And we have to keep in mind, every single male neshama writes the Levush Eseret in his Arvei Nachal and Bracious and Rosh Aleph. How writes the Chidah and Midbar Kedemus, quoting the Panim Iris Vashem, the Chochmei HaKabbalah, every Jewish neshama was part and parcel of that huge gargantuan neshama possessed by Adam HaRishon. Every subsequent female neshama was likewise possessed by that gargantuan neshama contained inside Chava. Adam and Chava started out as one being, then divided into two. So too, writes the Arvei Nachal, every single chos in the kala, you start out as one, then Hashem divides you up into two, and that life's goal is become one, unite, merge, fuse, create that ensuing synthesis, wherein you now emerge as one composite whole, one unit. And that's what Hashem Yisbarach wants to see. That's the tachlis, become one. I'll give you a taste of it. When both parties are individually born, I'll give you a taste of uniting those neshamas, albeit temporarily. I'll reunite them again, tachlis l'chuppah, and once again in the future, ad bias kol tzedek, and afterwards, then we will have the final reunion of the two halves of that same originating neshama. So, how do we know that this is the real ingredients, the key? Seven principles for making marriage work. How do we know that the key is to be friends? Let me show you the Nusach of Sheva Brachos. And the Nusach Hashem Rebachos, now we all know, if I were to ask you, what are the titles that we bestow, that we brand upon the bride and groom? So you'll tell me, Chosin Vekala, Chosin Vikala, Chosin Imhakala. And the truth is, if you take a look at Tanakh, can anyone here tell me any place in Tanakh that a bride and groom are called Chosin and Kala? And the Loshon HaMikra, in the Loshon, the terminology of Tanakh, what's a Chosin? A chosin is a son-in-law and a kala is a daughter-in-law. Yehuda has Tamar kala so. We just had Megillas Rus. We know that Rus was the kala of Elimelech and Ami. So Yitzhak Zilberstein poses the interesting question. In the Sefer Tuchah Yabiyu of Parshas Balak, he says, why is it that we refer to a bride and groom as chosin and kala when the Torah doesn't do that? And the Loshon HaMikra, the terminology of Tanakh, that's Koveya, Klali HaDikduk, how that establishes for us how to brand certain appellations and certain acts of the creation. If you want to know what a bride and groom are, they're called what? Ish and Isha, Abal V'Ishto, Chosin Kal is a son-in-law and daughter-in-law. Why is that? So he says, when in doubt, you ask your brother-in-law. Who's Rav Yitzhak Zilberstein's brother-in-law? Rav Chaim Kanevsky. So he says, I asked my brother-in-law, Rav Chaim Kanevsky, what's Pshat? So Chaim told Rav Zilberstein as follows. Chosin is miloshen chayin. When you're so inundated, so overwhelmed with chayin, it's kilo, you're mischanein, the reflexive his spoil. You're so saturated with chayin, you're mamash chosin. Yes, chosin, osios, nachas, beautiful drush. But just in the mitzias of the word itself, chosin is miloshen chayin. Now what about kala? You can't ignore kala is from the terminology. Avat kelulo tayach. An all-encompassing, all-overwhelming love. So he explains, to tell me that there's love, chayin and ava between a bride and a groom, that's pashut, that's axiomatic, that's self-evident. Otherwise, they wouldn't be getting married, obviously. If they're standing together underneath the chuppah, that's the giloy milsa, that discloses to one and all, that certainly there's a chayin and an ava that reigns between the two of them. But the chiddush is that in the Loshon HaMikra, a son-in-law should always be malachayin in the eyes of his in-laws. And a kala should always be male, avas kudosayich, in the eyes of her in-laws. And that's the real test. So we have chosin kala, chayin and ava. That's great. And certainly it's going to make an appearance, and not just one appearance, but turning to the nusach in Maseches Ksuvos Dam Chesem and Aleph, we'll have chosin vikala, and then we'll conclude with Kochosan Viko Kala yet again. Mesameh Chosan Imakala. So we'll have no fewer than three times. Chosan Vikala, Chosan Imakala, Kososan, Kochosan Viko Kala. It's Gavaldic. There's such a Gavaldic Simcha. But that's not the first appellation accorded to these two individuals. Turning to the Shevibrachas, when we turn to Chazal to figure out for us, how do you capture the essence of this bride and groom standing under the chuppah? They're now the recipients of the Sheva Brachas underneath the chuppah. And then we make our way to what? To bracha number 6. And in bracha number 6 we find as follows. Sameach tesamach reyim ha'ahuvim, the shiltis of Rabbi Chai Gaon, Parshas Chayisara, and Shulta Tazayim, actually has the girsa, reyim ve'ahuvim, but that's not the nusach that we have. Sameach tesamach reyim ha'ahuvim, kesamecha yitzurcha v'ganeida mekenem, abaruch ata Hashem esameach chosin v'kala. The first appearance of chosin v'kala only piggybacks on what? On mention, how are they introduced to us? If the essence of a bride and a groom underneath the chuppah was really chosin v'kala, chayin and ava, then that should be the way we're introduced. But we know the yesod of the Maharal and the Vilna Gaon and Tzedek HaKohen. The very first description you give on the pages of the Torah, that captures, that encapsulates the essence of what's really going on. The first title Chazal saw fit to bestow, to brand upon these individuals, it's not the Loshon Chayin and Ava. It's not Chosin and Kala. The first terminology we encounter is what? Is Sameach Tesamach. Interesting. It's bound up. It's coupled with the Kfeilut HaLashon of an emphatic Simcha. The real Simcha of Sameach Tesamach, the double emphatic tone of Sameach Tesamach conveys what? Sameach Tesamach only occurs when the Chosin Kala are Reyim Ahuvim. What are Reyim Ahuvim, writes Rashi? Ha Chosin Yakala Shein Reyim Ahuvim Zed Zed. They're best friends who love one another. More important than Chosin Yakala, before I even get there, Before I even start questioning Chosel Loshen Chayim and Kala Loshen Avos Kalud Osayach, the very first terminology that Chazal described this bride and groom as they stand together under the chuppah is what? Is Sameach to Samach Reim Ahuvim, their best friends. Only after we establish and that they're best friends, then we journey onwards to the Siyum of the Milsa, the concluding words of the Bracha. Baruch Atah Shemeim, Sameach Chosel Vekala. You know when you can have a Simcha Chosel Vekala? It's not going to be purely the Chayim and the Avo, because you won't always experience for the rest of your life that chen and avot to the same degree as that initial period of engagement. The Sfas Emes writes, and as Likutim on Shavuos, how why do we have in the Staff Torah for Parshas Bamidbar that concludes Verestichli Leolam, Verestichli Vetzedekah with Mishpat, Erestich, we're getting engaged to Hashem. We don't get engaged to Hashem, we get married to Hashem. Explains this Hasemus, but we talk about what? We talk about Hashem, yes, we're married to you. Shavuos, we have the greatest chasen ever. We got married to the Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyocha, but what? We always want it to be like an engagement. Because the excitement, the freshness, the novelty of getting engaged, even if we're married 10, 20, 30, 60 years, 70 and 80, we still want it to be. And that it's an echo of the earlier, the initial excitement, the enthusiasm of Chosen Kala, of the Shas Erisin, we'll always refer to it as Verestich Liliyom. Before we get to Chos and Akala, we first meet up with Reyim Ahuv. Now that's the key. Reyim, friends, Ahuvim Zetzah. And that's not the only diuk, because let's go onward. We have the last bracha. It all comes down to the end. Bracha Shebeisam and Aleph HaKohol HaKachar HaChisom. Zil Boso Chasim. You want to know the essence of something? Let's now take a look at the end. How do we sum it all up? We have the longest bracha of them all. Asher Baro. Soson, Visimcha, Chosen, Vikala, Gila, Rina, Ditsa, Cheva, Ava, that we're certainly working up. It's going in ascending order. And we have what? Ava, that's Gavaldic, Achva, brotherly, Shalom, peace and harmony. And what's the very last one? The Makkah Patish, the clincher, Reyes. What's Reyes? Friendship. Friendship. Friendship should be way at the beginning, and then you work your way up to Shalom. No. The culmination, the apex of that relationship should be what? Not just harmony. And not just Ava and Achva. You know what is the glue that keeps the bond everlasting? What's the glue that keeps the two halves together? And that's the Achva v'sholom v'reyus. That's the Siyuma de Milsa. The concluding term and the last of the Sheva brothers is Reyus. Is Reyus, which is friendship. It's to be a friend. And to be a friend means, to quote from one of my favorite collections of quotes from the 2008 bestseller John Lloyd and John Mitchin, saying, if ignorance is bliss, why aren't there so many more happy people? Page 122, it's a quote from Elbert Hubbard. Your friend is the person who knows all about you and still likes you. Those are friends who stay together forever. And that's the foundation of a romantic relationship. Friends do things for others. Going back to that Shalom Bayis Vod that I was in 20 years ago, I remember how the Mashgiach pointed out that caring about the small details and about the other spouses, the other party's interests and hobbies. He says, you know what's going to happen? You're going to sit up in an apartment. And any yeshiva guy knows you're sitting in yeshiva, and the kala says, you know what? It's a bein hazmanim. You have a little time off. How about we go together? We'll go to one of the furniture stores, and we'll get a bedroom set. We'll get a dining room set. And a husband says, yeah, a dining room set. What? I need a living room couch. You know what? Honey, you go and you take care of it. I trust you. Whatever you pick, that's fine with me. And of course, that's a very nice gesture, but that's not a great relationship. That's not friends. Say, Ella, what are you going to tell me? No, you got to the higher Madrega. You know you're going to say, oh, you want me to go? I'm going to go with you. I don't really have an interest in picking out the shades that are going to be adorning the drapes, and it's got to match the living room carpet, and the couch has to be the right texture, and is it leather? Is it going to be cloth? And it's got to be in my... And the husband says, you should have got to just learn Gemara. What do I need to go out? You know, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. And he's there, and he's got his sefer. He's there with his pocket, Mishnayos. And he's looking around. She says, no, what do you think? Honey, I love you. Whatever you pick is great. That's fine with me. That's not best friends. Best friends is, this interests you, then it interests me. If this is a hobby for you, then it matters to me. I don't really care what the texture of the living room couch is, and does the color match the color of the drapes. But if it matters to you, then it matters to me, because everything that matters to you matters to me. That's best friends. Best friends do everything together. A couple asked me recently, they were going to Puerto Rico on vacation. And they got into a little fight. She wanted to just sit all day on the beach and read her favorite books. And he says, look, if I'm paying the money, I'm going to Puerto Rico, I want to see the country. I want to go around to the museums. I want to go around to the cultural sites. And they couldn't make up their mind. And I had to sit with them until they figured out on their own that marriage is about a compromise. You know what? You'll have to sit on the beach together. She wants to sit on the beach in a private section, of course. And you'll go ahead and sit together on the beach and you'll read a little bit. And you'll have to go to museums exactly like we saw God and just tell us. Friends do things together. And even if it doesn't interest you personally, if it interests your best friend, then you bet it interests you as well. That's the key to that successful marriage. Going out and spending the time to always maintain that friendship. That's what keeps it going. Let's take a look at a terminology in Pirkei Avos and Perikin and a Torah that was subsequently added on to the five original Prokem in Pirkei Avos. And we open the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos, Shem Chachamim B'Lashon HaMishnah, and Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Osek B'Torah L'Shmo Zoch L'Dvar Harbin. Anyone who learns Torah L'Shem Shemaya will merit plentiful things. V'lo Od, furthermore, Ela Shekol Olam Kulo Kedai Hu Lo. The whole world was Kedai, was worthwhile just for this person who learns Torah L'Shmo. And he's Nikra, and there's a whole long list of things that he's called. And the very first lofty title, the very first appellation that's accorded to this individual who's learning Torah Lishma is Reya Ahuv. Reya Ahuv, a beloved friend. Writes Reuach Chaim Volozhin in his Reuach Chaim commentary here in Pirkei Avos, Parak Vav, Mishnah Aleph. And he says, what's this idea of Reya Ahuv? Ki ikar hu, imhu ne'ahav gamkin. Ki lo dai b'masha adam o'ev yizakar shvachu. It doesn't suffice that you love the Almighty, that you love Hashem Yisbarach. There needs to be a sense of reciprocity. God's got to love you back. Ki im tzorach l'shtalu shagam Hashem Yisbarach yevadu. If we want that Hashem shall love us, hainu, you got to show Hashem that it's a two-way street, that you love Him, you love His Torah, and you love His mitzvahs. And you walk in His ways in order that He should love you. It's not enough to say, Hashem, I love you. How are you demonstrating that you love the Almighty? You want Him to love you back. And the only way He's going to love you back is if you learn His Torah and you keep His mitzvahs, if you come on a Sunday morning and listen to Shiur, it's Gevaldik. L'shem Shemayim, you're called the Rei Ahuv. And then he continues, he says, now we understand why in the Brochas of Sheva Brochas says, the Sameach, the Samach Rei Mehuvim Hainu, Shekol Echad Yenev Meyasheni, each party in that spousal relationship should continuously, incessantly be loved by one another. Shekol's mantra him Yoser v'yachad, Hayoser ava mischazekes v'neim. And the longer that they're together, not like the tea bag, on the contrary, the longer that they're together, they enhance, they intensify the depth, the profundity of that relationship. I always tell Chassanim who come to speak to me, sometimes they get worried, they're going out on dates, and sometimes they're in the car and they're stuck in traffic on the FDR, or maybe they're in a atypical traffic jam on the Van Wicked, and nothing atypical on the Van Wicked, and there they are stuck in traffic, and the guy doesn't know what to do, he doesn't know what to say. Oy vey, this 15 minutes of silence, what's going to be? But how goofy, precisely, that's the key. Best friends don't need to be talking all the time. Best friends don't need to be conversing 24-7. Just enjoying one another's company and being in the car. And my wife only revealed this to me after we got married, but some of the best dates when you just got stuck in traffic, and you just sat there, maybe even listening to music together, but just enjoying each other's company and saying, I'm not rushing to get home, I'm not rushing to get out. I don't need to think of something to say. Oh, what's going to be? A moment of silence. You just enjoy going out with a best friend. That's Reya Mahuvim. Hashem Yisbarach says, you want to learn the Shema? You want to connect to the Almighty? The number one description that I can bestow upon you is Reya Ahuv. You're a love friend, you love me, I love you back. You have that cohesiveness, that bond. That's going to be meschazik, that's going to get better and better after time. And that's the key. And that's what Gaon is telling us. And it goes on to say that because Nathaniel and Olivia have kept the friendship so strong, despite the inevitable disagreements and irritations of married life, and you bet, we all know that they are there, but still they're experiencing what's known technically as positive sentiment override. And that means that there's such a deep, such a profound relationship. There will always be bumps in the road, but together you can surmount them all because you have a deep, strong, everlasting relationship. You have that reyes, that reyim ahuvim. So just to close, I've discussed the topic in the past, but it's clearly not coincidental that the best friends are called the Reyim, Reyim Ahuvim. Reyes writes the Ramban in his Drush of Rosh Hashanah, in the Kisvei Ramban. The Lashon, the Shorish, the etymology of Ra, Reish Ay, and Reya, and Ra, evil, is the sense of being broken up. David HaMelech, let's turn quickly to Tehillim, Capital Beis and Pasuk Tes. Teroei b'shevet barzel, break them apart with a steel rod. What do you call something that's a broken up tekiya? A terua. Again, the same etymology. A shepherd, his job is to collect the broken pieces of the flock. What is he called? A roa, Reish Ay. There's nothing evil in the world, writes the Ramban in Char Gemul. Ra, Reish Ayin, Reya, Reish Ayin, is what? Is my sense of being broken off from the Almighty. I perceive something as evil only because I feel that I'm separated from the source of all good, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech Malchayim Elohim. And Reyes is broken up. Who is your best friend? Gemara says in Kedushin, Daf Mem Aleph Amen Aleph. We all know the famous pasuk in Kedushin, Perek Yotes, pasuk Yotes, Ve'ahavta l'reyecha kamocha, love thy neighbor as thyself. It's not thy neighbor. And Ve'ahavta l'reyecha kamocha is love, a broken up peace, because we all, every single member of the Jewish people, began as one originating huge Shorish Knesset Yisrael, and were all subsequently broken up pieces and facets of that original huge neshama that encompassed, that contained therein all the myriad parts that have become the Jewish people. We're all Reyim of one another because we're all broken of pieces of one another. And who is one's best friend? The Gemara and Kedushin and Malach and Manach from the beginning of the second parak says, also the Kaddish Isha Achi Yireni, and I'll let you get married until you see. The Kalo Shema Tints of Adavar Magunim is gone. Abayla Shemar V'yavta L'Reyacha Kamocha. Nida Daf Yitzayim and Aleph. Gittin Daf Tzadiyim and Aleph. Several Gemaras and Shas that Reya, your best friend, is none other than your spouse. That's your best friend. Why? Because yes, in a klaliistic sense, and in a general sense, we all started, it was one originating neshama that was broken off into the 600,000 shorshing neshamas from which emanated all of Klai Yisrael that we know today. But on an individual level, a chos and a kal are two halves of one soul themselves. They are best friends that were linked together as one, separated now at birth, coming together temporarily at the chuppah, separated yet again, and they will return to that cohesiveness, to that sense of oneness, la'achar misa, and la'netzach mitzachem. How do you get there with a successful everlasting relationship? The bedrock, the foundation, has to be friendship, has to be best friends. Has to be that you know all about the person and you still love them. You're not jealous of the other's accomplishments. I always say one of the best moments in my 20 plus years of marriage, I was at a chasana last year and a woman was looking at me after the chuppah and she came over to me and said, excuse me, you look very familiar. Are you Ribbitson Feiner's husband? I said, yes, you bet. Best friends have to go out on dates. Best friends have to go every week on a date night. Best friends have to go out together. It doesn't need to be expensive. It doesn't need to be expensive, exorbitantly priced gifts. It has to be what? The little things in life. The daily things, the daily interactions and communication that shows I'm always thinking about you, because friends always stay in touch. Friends will always call, will always text, will always send letters. Best friends, the dynamic duo, that's a chos and a kala. Before chos and a kala, before chos and imakala, Chazal already revealed to us on those precious, hallowed pages of Sheva Brachos, Ksuvas Tabches Min Aleph, even more important, first and foremost, is Sameach Tesamach Reim Ahuvim. You want a double simcha, you want an everlasting simcha, then make sure your Reim, two broken off pieces of one original neshama, who are now Ovim, Avas, Gematria 13, Echad, Gematria 13, your two broken off pieces have now come together as Echad, Mitoch li Ava, Mitoch, that unparalleled love between Chos and Kala. That's the shlemus of a marriage, writes the Maral, and the Chiddush HaGadol Yevamos HaMechbeis HaMechbeis. The greatest simcha in the world is when two broken off pieces of one neshama come back together, united once and for all, forever again. And Me'at Hashem Mishu B'Zoicha, to have those marriages, to have those interpersonal relationships, to have that relationship as a Reya Ohav with the Almighty, with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to love Hashem and one another forever, and to once again have the schus of being reunited for good and forever with V.S. Gold Tzedek, Yemosa Mashiach, and Tchias Mason. Thank you so much for coming. Enjoy the rest of the day. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful week, everyone.